If you knew better, you would do better is one of the most toxic phrases that I think that we need to let go. With embodiment, the biggest issue is identifying the gap between knowing and doing. A lot of us know that, you know, we shouldn't be yelling or that yelling isn't helpful, but we still feel overwhelmed or inclined to snap when we feel disrespected. Like, you have the knowledge, but you're not doing it. So identifying that gap. I know I need rest, but I keep overworking. I know that I want a different dynamic than the relationship that my parents had, but, you know, I'm still repeating their dynamics. So when I say a spiritual understanding, an example of what this would look like is, say you're someone who has a mom who grew up and her entire life was dominated or very like male-centered. She cared about her relationships more than she cared about her children, and it just like created this like very, very toxic cycle. And it's very easy to stop right there and just be like, oh, well, she cared about relationships more than she cared about children. That's your like intellectual understanding of the issue. But when you like dive a little bit deeper and you understand, okay, hey, actually, the way that she grew up, her father wasn't there or he was in jail. And because of that, she now has a proclivity for dating, like, you know, like she's missing something, obviously. Also, she probably grew up during a time where, you know, they were brainwashing women and telling them things like having a half a man is better than no man at all. So she can't be alone. She's jumping from relationship to relationship. If she gets out of a relationship, she's hopping into a new one. There's very little space for her to think for herself. The problem is people want to run in the opposite. They think, well, I'll just do the opposite of that. But you've still inherited their same survival instincts. So now, you know, you might be someone who's dating and you're wondering, like, why is this happening? Why am I chasing after people like this? Why am I not able to let go? Why am I in this toxic dynamic? Because you're still rocking with those same survival instincts instead of peeling it back further and being like, okay, my mom didn't have any hobbies. She didn't have anything where she poured into herself. There was very rarely any time where she was able to less like stop or slow down and feel, which can happen, especially if you're like raising children in survival mode. You're not pausing to determine like what your reaction is to something that is happening. You're not asking yourself, hey, you know, like, where is the tension in my body? Or this situation is occurring. I'm tightening my jaw. What's going on here? Being so keenly aware of what is happening in the moment so that you are not being driven by unconscious survival instincts that go against what you know. This is what happens when there's a disconnect. Well, if you knew better, you would do better. This is not the case, because a lot of times people do know better, but the doing part, that gap between, is where we get lost. So practicality would look like slowing down and feeling, paying attention to the things that did not happen that you want to avoid. So if your mom was jumping from relationship, like this is an example, if your mom was jumping from relationship to relationship, rather than you just like being like, well, I'm not going to do that, and thinking that, okay, well, I'm just going to be celibate and I'm not going to interact with anybody so that I'm not falling into that same trap. But then, you know, you end up putting yourself in like this box that's not sustainable and then wiling out, and then you have like a crash out night or something and you're like, how did this happen? This is how this happened. This is how it happened, because you didn't give yourself any grace. You didn't pay attention to what you were actually feeling, and you thought that avoidance was healing. Well, I'm just going to avoid dating so that I'm not this person. No, just create a separation. It's not, I just need to stop doing this. It's, what do I need to fill my life with, my day with, to replace the survival instincts that I have learned? Did your mom keep promises to herself? Did she say no when she should have said no? It's like being able to understand this is what that actually looks like. It's not enough to be like, she, you know, she was just in and out of relationships. These are the ways that my mom sold herself out in these scenarios that contributed to this. Here's how I am not selling myself out. And you're going towards something instead of just avoiding something. So are you relearning? Are you identifying your own patterns of behavior, how you react to things? Are you paying attention to the ways that you can be a monster? If you are somebody who doesn't believe that you have it in you to be cruel, to be ugly, to be nasty, to be malicious to someone, you are wrong. And the sooner that you are able to do a deep dive and identify that part of yourself, the sooner that you can move forward and not create like this separation of humanity between you and someone else. Like, oh, well, that person is a monster. You can also be monstrous. You need to be clued into the ways that you can be monstrous so that you are not unconsciously being monstrous, if that makes sense. Are you communicating when you're uncomfortable? Are you staying present in conflict, or are you withdrawing and not dealing with it at all. Do you allow yourself to receive things and to not just give? Do you think that you are someone worthy of receiving anything from anyone? And or are you, you know, someone who feels like, oh, I need to give, and you know, that's what will have people around me? Like, paying attention to the oppressive conditions that created someone, and then also paying attention to how you are receiving life. Going back to the Jordan Peterson example, so what embodiment would have looked like practically would be for him to be regulating his own system and not just explaining it or intellectualizing it. If you follow him, he would teach about the importance of order and discipline and confronting chaos. And I wasn't following him too closely at this point in time, but I remember his wife of many years had suddenly, you know, become sick. His daughter was sick. She had her own medical issues going on. He had really started blowing up on the internet. So he's going from being, you know, essentially like a nobody professor who had been posting for years and not had like the level of success that he had. All of a sudden, he's in the forefront of a discourse. He's shaping the world instead of just the classroom. A lot of things at once in which any human being would have trouble, but more so specifically someone whose essential job is to teach people, you know, how to live better. That's hard. So if he had followed his own principles, embodiment would have looked like recognizing that his own system was overwhelmed. He would have recognized that. What that would have looked like is he wouldn't have, you know, focused on pushing forward or, you know, outsourcing emotional regulation to medication or, you know, practicing like grounding breath work instead of intellectualizing or doubling down on like rigid order and we don't feel anything. Other example of something that if he was actually embodying the principles that he talked about would be allowing for vulnerability and softness. The things that he would teach was that meaning comes from suffering and voluntary responsibility. Like, you have to carry a heavy load and work towards, you know, something, and that's where you find meaning, and meaning is more important than happiness. But if he had actually embodied that, embodiment of that, not just intellectualizing or understanding, embodiment of that would be admitting publicly and regularly the difficulty of living one's own like philosophy and principled life, like regularly discussing that. Because if you make things look easy and then you don't talk about how you're struggling, you're propping up a veneer, like a facade. Letting go the mask of, oh, I'm a master, I've mastered this, and allowing space for uncertainty. That's what embodiment would have looked like. It would have looked like tenderness and seeking help along throughout the process, not just when things are collapsing. It would have looked like him coming out and saying something like, hey, this is something I'm struggling with regularly, you know, which is really difficult, again, for just a regular person, let alone someone whose entire spiel is based on telling other people how to live. Another level of embodiment would have been, you know, using humility instead of heroism, instead of the idea of being a hero of your own story or being main character in this way. And I say this because one of the things that he taught, probably most famously, was stand up straight with your shoulders back. And the idea of it is to like be proud, pay attention to your posture, pay attention to what you're doing, pay attention to how you're behaving in the world. But what that would have actually looked like if he had embodied that would have required him to recognize that posture without inner alignment is a performance. Choosing humility over performative strength, you know, being able to say, I was wrong, I don't know, as a part of his public persona, not just in hindsight. So embodiment requires curiosity, humility, being humble, and then not just doing the opposite, but also paying so close attention to the patterns and what contributed to those patterns that you work in towards something. So the key is going to be focusing on rebuilding trust with yourself through, you know, small, consistent actions. Do you keep promises to yourself, even small ones? You know, do you walk away from patterns? Not the person, but do you walk away from patterns? Do you rest when you say that you will rest? That's a big one for me. Do you speak up the first time someone crosses a boundary? Or do you allow your fear of abandonment to overcome that and keep you in situations that you shouldn't be in? That's what embodiment is. It's felt, it's seen. It's shown. You can, it's a tangible behavior versus just a knowledge. Deontay Kyle says, do the knowledge. You have to do the knowledge that you are learning. A really great, simple way to check yourself is to say, if I truly believed what I say I believe, how would I move, speak, breathe, act right now? How would I be doing that if I truly believed what I say I believe?